This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And the entire Queer Voices crew.
Jamaican queers have seen little improvement in their lot since 2005, when two representatives of the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, or JFLAG, came to the U.S. to network with activists and lobby government officials. However, contacts that Gareth and Carlene made on the trip, with the assistance of Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, have been paying off in the wake of a violent Valentine's Day incident. Gareth himself was one of four gay men trapped inside a St. Andrew's Parish store by a homophobic mob of over 200. Police were slow to intervene until JFLAG's foreign allies applied the pressure, and there's an ongoing international campaign to ensure the continued safety of the victims and the human rights of all Jamaican LGBT people. Breaking through their society's profoundly anti-lesbian-gay attitudes is an almost overwhelming task, as Gareth and Carlene explained to This Way Out's Lucia Chappelle.
Why is it that those homophobic, heterosexist attitudes are so ingrained in Jamaican culture? Where does that come from?
One of the things is that in Jamaica it is believed, homosexuality is believed to not be a black people thing. It's not African. It's a foreign thing that has been introduced to the black people, and also dates back to the days of slavery when the white man, you know, would of course, you know, take on to himself the black man, and he would molest him, and you know, these are the things that are, you know, are embedded in the Jamaican mind. And as generation grow old, and generation come and generation go, these things are still instilled. Then we also have the church that plays a very integral part. Also, the church preaches every day fire on homosexual. It's wrong, you know, if you're in a church and you're discovered to be a homosexual, you're chased out of your church. The church does not want to have anything to do with you, and this should be a place of refuge for you. These are the things that really embeds the homophobia into the Jamaican people mind, because, you know, they're very Christian, and then, you know, the cultural part of it, you know, every day you hear, you know, this is not something, you know, that was born onto us. It was something that we adopted. It's a disease and something that can be cured.
And also when we find our political leaders, both parties, using for their campaign songs songs with homophobic lyrics, and they embrace it and they use it. What it is saying to our society is that it's okay. Gays and lesbians have no place in Jamaica. And what we want them to understand and to come to a realization of is that that's not so. And even if it was so a few years ago, Times have changed, and I'm a part of the process, and I'm giving my all to it. And for what I can give to JFLAG, and for what I can give to my fellow gays and lesbians in Jamaica, I'm going to give it. And it will never be the same after I make my transition. It will never be the same. When we really look at the highest internal authority and power in our country behaving in that demeaning manner, it's very appalling to see politicians actively participating in inciting violence against each other.
Because of their...
That is the reason why we have such a high crime rate in Jamaica. Jamaica has the third highest crime rate in the world. And then we ask ourselves as a people, what is happening? It's not about economics and we not being able to give more jobs or create more jobs opportunity. That's not the situation. It's not about the loans that we owe to European countries or to America. No. It's about the things that we have embraced as a people. The things that have been instilled in the minds of our people and our young generation by our leaders. right across the board. And it starts with the mind. And if we can't change that, and coming from authorities, it's not going to work for us.
What do you think you can learn here about changing those minds?
LGBT people here in the U.S. have come a far way comparing to where we're at and where they're coming from, because as it stands right now, you know, they can now try to go and fight to have, you know, gay marriage rights and health benefit rights and all of that, you know. So they must have done something right to even reach from our stage to the stage that they're at now. So whatever strategies that they've been using, we're here to learn that and to see if it can, if we can apply it to our society, because it is really a far, far, far way. We are not even on the bottom rung of the ladder yet. Although, yes, they are still faced with homophobia, you know, across the country, but it's not as bad as Jamaica. Even when we go back home, you know, we are still going to be keeping in touch with people that we've met so far who have said to us, whatever it is, whatever strategies it is, we can work this out. You know, we are willing to learn. We're open.
Yeah, and the learning experience also is that, for me, is America and other European countries, gays and lesbians, many have died, many have been physically abused and that kind of thing. So there's a common pattern, and for us it doesn't make sense that we quit now. We have come a far way, and even though our officials have not yet given us a platform for a dialogue, with persistence and hard work, we're going to create it. And once we get that avenue, then we're going to get what we believe in and what we want.
I believe you will. Thank you so much for being with us, Gareth and Carlene, from the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays. Thank you very much.
And thank you for having us.
For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
Come on, get up, stand up. Brothers, stand up for your rights. Come on, get up, stand up. Sisters, don't give up the fight.
To help J5 protect LGBT people in Jamaica, supporters are urged to write the country's Prime Minister, the Most Honorable Portia Simpson Miller, and ask her to speak out publicly against the homophobic violence that has continued since the eruption on Valentine's Day. Her email address is hpm@opm.gov.jm. For more information, you can email admin@jflag.org or Rev. Robert Griffin at mccchurch.net. I wish I'd never met you first.
Yeah, I've been sitting in the middle, and it's hitting more lies than one. It's a bitter situation, overtaking more lives than one.
This is J.D., and if you were paying attention to the lyrics of that song, you noticed it was a bisexual lyrically song. I don't know if that's the correct phrase, but it was by Tom Robinson from 1984. It was called More Lives Than One, and it should fit in with this next segment. Deb?
Thank you, J.D. This is Deborah Bell.
Jennifer
and A. And we're here with Matt Griswold. Now, a couple of, I guess it's been a couple of months ago now, we had a panel talking about bisexuality, and that was with women, and Mac was supposed to be on that program, but unfortunately he was ill, so he had to reschedule. And before we had a woman who was in a relationship with a man who identifies as bisexual. She had had a long-term relationship with a woman, and so this is a little bit different situation because Mac identifies as bisexual, and it's hard to say this delicately, but you were with a man for 3.5 years, but that relationship has now ended.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I always say that when we talk about GLBT, that it's really the bisexuals that end up not being counted in the numbers. It's kind of hidden within the community. There's different attitudes of, you know, people sitting on the fence, or you have to be gay or you have to be straight. There can't be any in between, or, you know. So what are your feelings about that?
Well, I think that is very often the case, that people who identify as bisexual are sometimes forced to choose one or the other, and it's put into a black and white perspective that, well, either you're gay or you're straight. There's nothing in between. You may have feelings one way or another, but it really is put in very black and white terms that either you're part of the gay community, part of the queer community, or you're part of the straight community.
And have you been involved in the GLBT community as a bisexual man, openly bisexual?
Honestly, no, not very much. I've been in Houston for about 5 years. When I first moved here, I started to look into some of the resources in the area, some of the activities that were available. But at that time, I was single. I wasn't really looking for a relationship, was very focused on my work and just trying to get settled into Houston. After a couple months or so, I met my previous partner and pretty much settled into that relationship and was very content with it, was very happy with him.
Now, did you already identify as bisexual before you started this relationship with a man?
Yes, I did. And that's something from the first times I really started to understand my sexuality. I was always interested, always sexually attracted to both men and women. And at the very start, that was very confusing to me. The few people that I did talk to, that I could have open conversations with, they left me somewhat even more confused than when I started. If you're having thoughts of women and you're attracted to men, maybe you're just confused. Maybe you just want to experiment. Maybe you're afraid to come out of the closet. They gave me all of these other reasons about why I needed to decide I was either gay or straight, but did not give me much of an opportunity to explore bisexuality as a lifestyle.
And so you had been with women and dated women before this relationship?
I actually did not date very much.
No.
A few dates here and there, occasionally, but I had not had any long-term relationships or any long-term commitments. But I did. I was with women, was with men.
Mm-hmm. And so now, of course, you're newly single, so
yes.
Again. So
you're advertising? So
that's exactly why I came on the show tonight.
I told Jennifer, I said, gosh, yeah.
So the number to call in is...
How do you approach it, like when, say, you're at a bar, mm-hmm. and some guy starts talking to you, and you think, well, he's probably interested. Do you bring up the fact that you're bisexual, or do you just...
No, I don't. And it's not anything that I hide. When people ask me about my sexuality, very often, honestly, I will say I'm gay because it's the easier thing to say. Not that I'm hiding it, but it's just easier to explain than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think really when I look at relationships and... when I talk to other men and even some women who ask about bisexuality and how do you deal with that in the course of normal social relationships and intimate relationships, it's very much up to them how much they disclose. And again, not that they're hiding anything, but it's difficult to find a place where it fits into the conversation.
Right.
My view has always been relationships are about fidelity no matter how they play out, if it's a straight relationship, if it's a gay relationship. And I think that's the number one question that I get from people who do want to know about bisexuality is how can you be in a relationship, any relationship, and not look at other people? And that's the same question with a straight relationship. It's fidelity. If you're a man dating a woman, you can't look at anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not dead.
Yeah. Or you can look, but you can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes we're both looking, you know. We're like, but it's like, okay. But that then you just take that home and take advantage of it. So do you feel like that if you were with a woman that you would still identify as bisexual?
I think I would, regardless of who I was dating. The attraction and the desire will always be there, I think. I don't know the future, but I know that I am attracted to both men and women, and regardless of whether I'm in a relationship with a man or a woman, there may be some opposites or same-sex attraction to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. When I was working on the March on Washington in 1993, we had a volunteer named Michael Beers, and I think I had said something like, well, I'm a lesbian identified bisexual. And he says, well, I'm a bisexual identified bisexual. which I thought was pretty clever.
And we won't get into being a trisexual.
Which is what Jennifer is. She'll try anything
try
once.
Anything
yeah,
once.
Bump. So what kinds of things do you want people to know about bisexuality?
And I think this is something that I'm on staff at Rice University. I work with young students day in, day out, and I also am active with the GLBT Resource Center on campus there, GATHER. And I think when people, I'll focus on students, particularly when students approach me the most and they have questions, the things that I try to look at are breaking stereotypes about what does it mean to be bisexual. And I think the most common ones out there are you are confused, you can't make up your mind, you want the best of both worlds, you're just not ready to come out of the closet. Again, that's one that I heard quite a bit. And being able to, I guess not assertively identify, but being confident in yourself and your sexual identity and who you are and what you believe, being able to do that in a way, I think, is very difficult for bisexuals, both men and women. And understanding who you are is a very important part of developing that sexual identity, understanding where you're going in life and what you want out of life and what you want out of relationships.
Have you been involved in any bisexual organizations?
No, I know there are. There's at least one here in Houston. I haven't been active with them, mainly because I've been very, very busy.
I think nationally, BiNet is still active, and they have a wonderful publication called Everything That Moves, which of course goes back to
you want the best of both worlds.
right, or it increases your chance of having a date on Saturday night, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay,
doubles
so
your chances, right?
Yeah, or your doubles your chances to
anyway.
Not have a date on Saturday night. Do you feel like there has been any kind of change in your experience of being more accepted within the gay community as a bisexual man?
I haven't had much interaction with that here in Houston. Before I came to Houston, I was not very... I was open at work. I was out with my family, but very much on my own. I didn't get involved with the queer community or the gay community in Connecticut. But here, I think there is some of the same stigma, there is some of the same confusion, or I wouldn't say prejudice, but there is a certain amount of distrust, I think, sometimes. And it's very easy for people to believe everybody is like me, regardless of whether you're in the queer or straight community. You want people to be like you because you can understand them.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that one.
Jennifer's been everything.
Oh, yes, I've been GLBT.
Yeah, she's been the whole alphabet.
Yes,
there.
I stopped at T.
Well, there's a couple of books that I can recommend. One is called BI, Any Other Name, mm-hmm. and it's written by Lorraine Hutchins and Alani Kanhumanhu. She's Hawaiian, and who were both activists with the March in 93 and on the steering committee for the march. Another book is called Vice Versa. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one called Dual Attraction. So anyone who feels like that they might be bisexual or would like to understand better about bisexuality could use those books as resources. What would you tell a young person coming to you that has questions about their sexuality?
I think finding somebody that you truly can confide in, a confidant, somebody that you trust, somebody that you believe you can have an honest conversation with and not fear for rejection, not fear for criticism. One of the first things I do discourage people from doing is just jumping right out and actively going into sexual experimentation that's unsafe, that's not going to be healthy for them in the long run, but to try to really, in a very introspective way, examine who they are and what they want. And I think that's part of developing who you are. But having somebody else that will actively sit and listen to you, can understand what you're saying, and will take the time to understand who you are and who you want to become.
And then, of course, you tell them to always tune in to Queer Voices on Monday night, right?
Exactly.
And get it all together.
Get it all together. What are you looking at now? Now, like I say, newly single.
He's looking for those phones to light
up. No, we can't do that. We don't do that at KPFT. But do you think maybe you'll get more involved in the queer community and maybe...
Well, what I do for a living is very much geared towards getting students involved, getting them out doing volunteer work. So it's a personal passion for me that I've drifted away from in the last couple of years. Since I got to Houston, I don't know the community as well. And now I'm looking at that as a way to get involved again. And we'll see what happens for relationships.
Yes.
No guesses yet.
Yeah, I always have to have that time to kind of process. I always talk about lesbians as like, you know, they'll be a couple and they're together a long time and they break up and maybe you've been attracted to one of the members of that couple and you think, well, I'll give her some time, you know, to get over it and everything. But by golly, next thing you know, she's done hooked up with somebody else.
Yeah, and they're with somebody else already.
It could have been you.
Well, maybe not. I think it is important to take time and not try to fix the problems of a previous relationship with a new relationship. A real point, certainly, about bisexuality, and, you know, it's the only term that has that word sex in it.
Mm-hmm.
The march in Washington, we said lesbian, gay, and bi equal rights and liberation.
Yes.
They were so afraid of using that sexual in there. But, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
Well, in bisexuality, I think I've already mentioned it lends itself to people just saying they want more, they want other things. The other stereotype is promiscuity.
Right.
And when you look at it as gay, straight, bi, lesbian, bisexuality really does imply that. It's all about sex.
But it's not all about sex. When you take an identity, it's like I always say, we have a culture, and you know, we can embrace the things that make us special, but our identity isn't just something that happens in the bedroom, so that's just really important to acknowledge and to take into account when you're talking about being part of the community. Sometimes people are parts of communities way outside of being GLBT, such as maybe they're in the square dance community, mm-hmm. or the butterflies collectors community. It's where people make community and when they choose to be part of it. I think it's, you know, good for people to hear that there's someone willing to say, yes, I'm bisexual, and mm-hmm. that's it. You know, I'm not going to argue
there's
with you.
No,
I'm not
going to
try to explain
it anymore.
It's just, you know, I am what I am.
Well, like, and that's why we say GLBT. The B is there for a reason.
Yes.
You are part of the community.
Yeah. But I do feel like we need to make it a safer community so that people are comfortable with that identity. People that I know who identify as bisexual, they're serially monogamous, just like lesbians are, for the most part, okay? I'm not, this is a generality, it's not, I know many of you have other choices about how you conduct your life, but
I'm glad that we don't have call-in.
Hey, that's an idea. Maybe we should do that. Well, Mac, is there anything that we didn't ask you about that you'd like to let the listeners here?
I think that's everything, really.
Well, they can't see your beautiful dimples and your big smile, but thank you for being with us here on Queer Voices, and we'll have some music, and we'll be back with Sally Huffer from the Montrose Counseling Center.
Thank you.
One day we walked along the sand, one day in early spring, you held a piper in your hand to mend its broken wing. Now I'll remember many a day and many a lonely mile, the echo of a piper's song, the shadow of a smile.
J.D., that were some sweet music.
It sure was. That, of course, was Johnny Mathis. And that's actually a new recording of that song by him. He's the guest on an album by Dave Koz, that's K-O-Z, who's a very popular saxophone artist who came out of the closet a couple years back. And now he's doing his out stuff, and he's on Capitol. An out artist on Capitol. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And in the album features guests with guest vocalists, Donna Summer, John... Anita Baker, Barry Manilow, Vanessa Williams. Quite a well-rounded, nice mellow piece. It's called At the Movies.
And that's the name of the CD, At the Movies?
At the Movies.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, Sally Huffer is standing by, but we're going to play the last segment from This Way Out, and then we're going to go to Sally. This is Queer Voices.
Listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. You can also now get CDs of our program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038 USA.
Can good gay films come from non-gay artists? Our award-winning entertainment reporter Steve Pride considers that question in his preview of Gray Matters.
They finish each other's sentences, dance like Fred and Ginger, and share a downtown loft. But they're not the perfect couple. Gray and Sam are actually brother and sister.
You got in late last night. I didn't even hear you come in.
I'm just getting in now.
Sounds like you had a good time.
She's more than good.
She's pretty great.
She's more than great.
Don't blow it, okay? You're off to a strong start, but a girl can sense a glamour from a mile away.
She doesn't think I'm a glamour.
How do you know she'd be thinking you're a glamour and you don't even know it? Hey, you went to really glamour last night, okay? Staring in her eyes, never leaving her sight. Glamour.
I know.
I'm just telling you.
Read my
non glamour
lips.
She doesn't
think I'm a glamour.
Like
I know she doesn't think
I'm a glamour. How do you know she'd think you're a glamour and you don't even know?
No, I know because I asked her to marry me.
What?
And she said yes. Can you believe it? And we got our blood work done this morning, and we're going to Vegas this weekend, and we want you to be our witness.
What?
While the film starts off in well-worn When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle territory, before you can finish half your popcorn, it takes an unexpected turn. Gray simultaneously realizes that she's gay and that she's in love with her brother's fiancé.
When I wrote the movie...
Writer-director Sue Kramer.
7 years ago, everybody raised an eyebrow and said, no, we're not ready for this. We don't want to see a gay girl romantic comedy lead. And when I was mentioning who I was thinking about at the time, whether it was Reese Witherspoon or Jennifer Aniston, and I was lucky enough to end up with Heather Graham, they were like, no, we don't want to see a big leading lady in a gay girl role. I think that it's really interesting in terms of the history of Hollywood, in terms of cinema. Gay men have always been more accepted. In terms of the 1940s, there was the gay butlers. Everybody loved them. And then there was Peter Lorre and the Maltese Falcon. And then there's always been gay male characters in huge movies in terms of Hollywood history, but not females. So I do think that it's time. I think Will and Grace opened up some huge doors, but once again, males. And I think that our society is becoming more open to just being more tolerant of everybody, not labeling everybody.
Surprisingly, Sue Kramer is not a lesbian, but she didn't have to look very far for inspiration.
I grew up with two sisters, three girls. I'm the youngest. My sister Carolyn, who the movie is inspired by, is the oldest. And we have a very close relationship, similar to Sam and Gray, in that we're incredibly close. And we love all the same things. And we've always loved fashion and old movies. And my mother's a huge cinephile and movie buff. And when she came out, she used to have crushes on my, like, college friends, and I thought it was so weird. I was like, this is so awkward. My best friend, Becky, you have a crush on? And then she was like, why is it so awkward? We like the same things. Like, we have the same taste and everything else. Why wouldn't I like somebody that you're best friends with? And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. And that became the seed for Gray and Sam. So she was an enormous inspiration for the film.
When I've spoken to straight male actors about playing gay, they're quick to let me know the same-sex kiss was the hard part of the job. In contrast, Heather Graham, who plays Gray, told me she had no such problem.
I thought, wow, I'm so lucky I get to kiss Bridget Moynihan. She's so gorgeous. But I guess we were nervous because I'd become friends with her at that point. It just felt like, I felt a little awkward. But, I mean, she's beautiful and she has very soft lips. And it was really cool for my character, that moment of just, wow, so this is what I've been missing out on. And this is, everything feels so right about this, but freaking out about it at the same time.
Grey Matters boasts an amazing supporting cast that includes Oscar-winning Sissy Spacek, openly gay Alan Cumming, disco diva Gloria Gaynor, and Saturday Night Live alum Molly Shannon, who, as Gray's best friend, shares with her the meaning of love.
Oprah! Oprah the Great! Oprah, I love her! Do you understand that I'm obsessed with her? Like, I think she is so great that she should start her own religion. That's how much I love her. I love her so much that if she and Stedman couldn't have children and needed a little bit of help, I would surrogate a child for them. That's right, I would have Oprah's baby. That's how much I love her.
Wow, that's a lot of love.
Tom Cavanaugh shines as Gray's brother Sam. Although this role is heterosexual, Tom played gay on the TV show Jack and Bobby and stars in the upcoming gay hockey film Breakfast with Scott. I asked him if the old, isn't he brave, is still germane in 2007.
To me, it's a non-issue. But then again, it's fairly naive in the current geopolitical world to call it completely a non-issue. So in terms of sports, which is what Breakfast with Scott confronting homosexuality in sports, in that world still, eyebrows are raised. It's a strange thing that in 2007 there are gay athletes out there in the major sports, but not a single one is out of the closet. And it seems to be the last taboo that has to be hurdled. You know, we're not trying to make a statement about that in Breakfast with Scott, nor are we trying to make a statement about in any of the gay themes in Gray Matters. I think that in both movies, you know, when you say brave, I don't, as an actor, I don't think it's brave at all. You know, I think that it's, as I say, like, it seems to me like it should be a non-issue. But if the story's good as an actor, you know, you come. But I guess where I was going with that is, you know, what's nice about both movies is we're not attaching any judgment to it one way or the other. I think if you try and send a message, you're trying to send a lesson out there, you're walking in a risky territory as film authors, you know, the people that write these movies. Sue, in her case, I feel like her thing was, you know, look, I'm not saying be this, be that. I'm saying this is a semi-autobiographical story, something that happened to me, something that I know about, so I can talk about it. You can take it any way you want. So I think neither movie is a message movie, but I like the subject matter that both of them explore. That's a long-winded answer to your question, but it's an interesting question. I think it's a good question, too.
But before I continue, I must ask if there's anybody here who has any objection whatsoever to the union of these two lovebirds.
I'm sorry. Carry on. Go ahead.
As I was saying, if there's anybody here who has an objection to the union of these two love angels, speak of their peace now.
Oh, my God, look out!
Your hiccups gone?
Actually, yes.
Okay. Carry on, Minister. No one objects.
I was never trying to be preachy with this movie.
Writer-director Sue Kramer.
I was just trying to say everybody should be comfortable with who they are, and whatever that is, whether you're gay or straight or black or white, or you should just be comfortable with who you are. And that's really the biggest message of the film, which I think is universal.
God, they're so beautiful and magical and peaceful. Do they have babies here?
I don't think so. That's Lucy, and she's Ethel.
They're an item.
Mm-hmm. Never spent a moment apart. It's very common. I'm actually doing a study on homosexuality among mammals.
You are?
I'm concentrating on whales, but did you know that over 50% of elephants are gay?
How do they test that?
They pipe in the village people over loudspeakers and watch their feet.
This has been a conversation with Heather Graham, Tom Cavanaugh, and filmmaker Sue Kramer. Gray Matters is a Yari Film Group release. For more information, point your internet browser to graymattersmovie.com. And as always, PrideOnScreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Christopher Gall, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Lucia Chappelle, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Peter Tosh and Gloria Gaynor performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from you, our listeners, and we thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air. To sign up for our weekly email program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on 4NAG, Yaphune, Queensland, KHEN, Salida, Colorado, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And everybody's going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
And we do hope that everybody will stay tuned. Thanks to our master engineer, Glenn Holt, we were able to get This Way Out and have it for you this evening, but we had to juggle the time around a little bit. But actually, we're kind of right back on schedule again.
Isn't that amazing?
And we have one of our favorite guests, Sally Huffer, who she wears many hats, but one of them is in her role as the
community project specialist at Montrose.
Project specialist at Montrose Counseling Center, and they have some new programs coming up, and she's going to talk about that and a little bit about the bringing in of the green, which
yes,
is so important,
which is back this year.
Yeah.
So we kind of took a year off, and now we're back with bringing in the green.
And bringing in the green is the annual fundraiser that they have for the Montrose Counseling Center, and you'll tell us more about that later. But first, I want to hear about what's going on as far as the programming at Montrose Counseling Center.
Well, right now, we've got a coming-out support group that's starting up this very week, and it's going to be on Thursday, and it's beginning this Thursday, every Thursday for 8 consecutive weeks. And it's not the kind of thing that you have to commit to and come to every single session. It's a drop-in program. If you're interested, you know, come by
on Thursday. Don't have to come to the first one and then
no.
All the way through any of the nights.
Right, and you don't have to be a client at Montrose Counseling Center, because this is all about coming out. We know that there are people listening to the show who might be thinking about coming out, have never actually said those words, whether it's to themselves or to anybody else.
Are they in the process and they need to their story and hear the stories of others?
Well, and also we like to think that we're all in the process of coming out all the time. I mean, we can be as out, you know, and be out in the community and all of that, but I mean, we're always making decisions. Am I going to come out to this person? If somebody, you know,
exactly.
says, how was your weekend? Are you going to say, well, you know, my partner and I went and did this together, or, you know, so, disclosure is something that comes up quite a bit, and we're always deciding, is this, you know, somebody that's safe? Is this somebody that I want to come out to? And so, you know, we talk about, of course, with the youth being out in their school, being out to your family, being out in the workplace, being out in the community. So there's various different stages of coming out.
So you've had the coming out support group before. Do you have a range of ages of people that attend?
Usually around 18, but we've had people as young as 16 come to the coming out support group, and yes, they go all the way up into seniors. So absolutely, we try to hold the coming out support group at least twice a year. So we're just getting ready to launch our very next one.
And it's at what time?
Well, it's on Thursday. Pardon me. It's on Thursday evenings from 6:30 until 8 p.m. at Montrose Counseling Center in room 15, which is on the first floor, and there's no charge to come. Like and I said, you don't have to be a client.
Montrose Counseling Center is located at
701 Richmond Avenue, which is just east of Montrose on Richmond Avenue.
And it's on the bus line.
Yes.
And not too far from one of the Metro Rail.
Right, the Wheeler stop on the light rail.
Right. So people can get there, which is a great thing when you're in a social service agency.
Exactly.
Is having, who is conducting the support group?
Well, we have a couple of interns who are psychotherapy interns, and they'll be actually conducting it with a supervisor who is a licensed therapist at Montrose mm-hmm. Counseling Center.
And what are some of the topics that will be covered in the group?
Well, one of the things that we talk about initially when it comes to coming out is issues about homophobia or internalized homophobia or self-loathing, you know, because a lot of times before you can accept or, you know, come out to other people, you need to accept yourself. And for many people, that means growing up in a society where heterosexism is the norm, where, you know, people are told either by their church or their family or society that this is wrong and this is bad and, you know, shame on you for being this way. And so it's natural for a lot of people to have this self-loathing, I'm not worthy, or and especially for people who are isolated, you know, who haven't met a lot mm-hmm. of other people.
Or something must be wrong with me because
exactly.
I feel this way, or
exactly.
just any number of...
I'm doomed never to meet anybody, you know, that because this is, you know, supposedly such a horrible thing, I'll never fall in love, or I'll never find the right person.
Now, so. is this coming out also for trans people?
Absolutely.
And transgenders?
It's open to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender,
okay.
as well as questioning. We always like to include the questioning because we think that for some people, you know, and especially the younger crowd these days, you know, they are constantly coming up with new labels that we could never have even imagined. And so, yes, absolutely, the whole alphabet is invited.
So what kind of labels are they coming up with?
Oh, well, we've got the whole gender queer.
Oh, yes.
And we've got...
The girl-boy and the boy-girl.
Right. And there's the BOI boy.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some people who... And I just know this, you know, from my familiarity with the Hatch youth, who today might come in and declare themselves, you know, male. Tomorrow they're female. Today they're a lesbian. Tomorrow, you know, they're questioning. So, you know, that's okay. Some people need stepping stones to get to where they need to go, and that's perfectly fine, too.
Yeah. And sometimes you take a couple of steps, and then you have to take a step back. Or
exactly.
And you know, there is an evolving that can take place, and people may be on the spectrum of sexuality at different places at different times in their lives.
Exactly.
And that needs to be something that's not so scary.
Exactly.
You know, you love a person, you love a person.
Right. And a lot of people don't come out until, you know, their middle life. And so, you know, there needs to be a safe place for them to come to. And, you know, some of the other things that they'll be talking about is things like religious abuse. I mean, a lot of people are dealing with religious issues around this coming out. And
I think you brought it to my attention, Sally, that there's billboards around town that it says, I question homosexuality, and it's put up by Exodus, which is the what do they call it?
Reparative therapy.
So-called reparative therapy. Yeah, yeah.
Which has been denounced by every, you know,
yeah.
legitimate, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, mm-hmm. the social working groups, pretty much everyone.
They're going to pray the gay away.
Well, and, you know, there's some mm-hmm. statistics that indicate that it can do more harm than good.
Those are still the creationists, too.
Oh, well, that's true. they had a conference not too long ago, I'm wanting to say in Arizona, the Exodus people did. And on NPR, they had this report. There was this young person that was talking about how scary it was to be there. His parents had brought him there and all this. But he says, you know, I don't want to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knew going into it that you know, he was okay with being gay, and it was his parents that were having the hard time, which reminds me, and this is the best tribute that we can pay to Jim and Sue Null, is reminding folks that if they're in the coming out process, especially if they're having to deal with parents or other family members, parents and friends of lesbian and gays is the place to be, because they're going to help you with it. Right?
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, I carry in my wallet just a short list of phone numbers that I give out frequently when people are talking about these issues. One is the PFLAG helpline number.
And of course, she has on here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, KPFT, Queer Voices.
Queer Voices, where the news and information of the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender community is on the air.
Did you make this card yourself?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think this would be a great card for us to be able to give out to people. We need to steal this idea and put Queer Voices on here, and then as we go about, we can pass those out.
Well, by all means,
give people a little wallet-sized resource right there.
Well, and the reason I bring it up is because, I mean, PFLAG is such a wonderful organization. They have a helpline, and it's one of the main resources that we refer people to on the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, because we're dealing with a lot of people who are dealing with coming out issues, and what the reaction might be of their parents or friends or family members. And so even if it's not necessarily parents, which PFLAG is well known for, they certainly have a resource of people that a person can speak to. So, but getting back to our coming out support group, one of the really neat things about it is that we talk about the history of the gay community and the gay movement and gay pride. And so for a lot of people, you know, there's a whole bunch of different theories about the continuum of the coming out process and where it begins and where it ends. And usually it ends with pride.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, speaking of pride, you had a little announcement about something to do with Pride.
Well, I did. And I'm just actually the messenger, because I'll be there. But I know that there's going to be a meeting at the Community Center on Wednesday of this week for Pom Pom, which is people opposed to moving the parade out of Montrose. Pom Pom.
And that's at the Houston Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center, 3400 Montrose, second floor, suite
207.
And if you have concerns about moving the parade, date or location, or whatever your opinion is about it, then you're welcome to take part in that meeting. The Pride Committee will be looking at what is going to happen in 2008, but right now they're concentrating on what's happening this year. And so if you're interested in Pride, check out pridehouston.org and find out more information about that.
Well, they're supposed to be making a decision at their August board meeting.
Right, so of course, in June, when we have Pride Week, there'll be more opportunity to, because I know they're going to be still surveying people then.
May I ask one question? How is the SPRI program coming?
It's coming quite well, actually. I wish I had more information for you.
Seniors just preparing for Rainbow Year.
Yes. Exactly. So you came on the show and announced it.
Yes.
And I've always been asking, you know, we are getting close to Rainbow Years.
You're working on it.
I'm working on Rainbow Years. So, how is it going?
It's going quite well. In fact, one of the things that we've learned the most from the group of people who have participated thus far is that the biggest thing, and this, you know, kind of dovetails with the coming out support group, is isolation. And so we have some, not really support groups, but just kind of drop-in, you know, meetings, and we've had to expand those because they've been so popular. Now, I don't know the dates and the times, but the information is on our website, so I would recommend, if anybody's interested, there's one for men, and there's one for women, and then there's one for men and women.
What is that website?
It's www.montrosecounselingcenter.org.
And you can check out about all the fine programs at the Counseling Center, and also the individual therapy that they offer there, HIV case management, and they have from soup to nuts, the hatch youth all the way to the seniors preparing for their Rainbow Years. And how can people help keep the great institution of the Montrose Counseling Center going?
Well, one way is that...
Funny I should ask.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned earlier, we have our annual St. Patrick's Day celebration coming up on this Friday, the 16th. The event is always the Friday before St. Patrick's Day. And so we're back again this year. Like I said, we kind of... missed one last year, but this year it's going to be at the home of John Danielson. I don't have his actual address with me, but you can find that information on our website as well, www.montrosecounselingcenter.org. And it's just a big party.
And a silent auction.
Actually, not this year.
No, not this year.
Yeah, this year's a little bit scaled back.
And, of course, we will be without the beloved Jack Jackson,
our
who for many years
favorite leprechaun.
Dressed as a leprechaun and let people pin dollars and $5 and $20 and $100 bills to his outfit and to collect
Deborah,
for the evening.
Why don't you be a leprechaun?
I would look so good that in those green tights.
I don't know that Jack could ever be replaced.
No,
I have
Jack
to say.
Can't be replaced.
I will say this, though, that, you know, every year he would have a different costume, and he would tease everybody, oh, just wait till you see me this year. You're not going to believe how outrageous my costume is. And, of course, every year it was something different. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a little bit of Jack there this year, so even though Jack's passed on, we will have something in his memory. And so I'm just going to tease it a little bit and say, just wait till you see Jack Jackson.
Oh, that's and wonderful. That's March 16th. Bringing in the green for the Montrose Counseling Center. Thank you, Sally Huffer, for
Thank
being
you.
With us on Queer Voices. Also, thanks to Jeff Reed, Matt Griswold, Peter Gabashian, and thank you for listening. Thank you for being a supporter. Next week, we have, among other things, Phyllis Fry. What is Phyllis going to be doing, Jennifer?
Phyllis is coming back from New York. The Transgender Legal Roundtable, and she's going to tell us what they talked about dealing with transgender law.
Joan Devlin will have a book review about gays in the music industry, which should be very interesting to JD. Glenn Holt is going to be talking with Diana Fernandez, Miss LSVA, which they have a fundraising pageant and a volleyball classic tournament Easter weekend. So tune in for that interview. Of course, we'll have This Way Out music. And also, we're hoping to talk to the folks that are putting on the play Empanada as part of the events of Women's History Month and the Sorjuna Festival.
Also, 1 month from today is the 12th, April 12th, is the Transgendered Unity Banquet. And please, you can get your tickets by going to htuc.org, and you can get them through Ticketmaster.
And one more thing, clothing drive this Thursday at the Community Center to help CATS, which is the
Community Association for Transgender Support.
That's right.
All right. So that means bringing...
And I have a trunk full of clothes.
That you're giving away?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should join. Thank you for listening to Queer Voices. Join us next Monday night.
Good night.
You have been listening to Queer Voices. Heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
American Life Showtime television program premieres on March 22nd, and KPFT radio members are invited to a sneak preview of the first episodes. On Tuesday, March 13th and Wednesday, March 14th, KPFT, in conjunction with the Aurora Pictures Show, invites you to a free screening of the new This American Life TV series. Each evening will feature two of the first four episodes of the forthcoming series. Listen every Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. to see a sneak preview of This American Life, the TV show. 7:30 p.m. at the Aurora Pictures Show, 800 Aurora off North Main, just inside the Loop. Free for all KPFT members. Tuesday and Wednesday, March 13th and 14th. Be the first to see the television version of This American Life. Great radio on the big screen. Only from KPFT and the Aurora Pictures Show. This is KPFT, Houston.
We've all played that game. What's the CD that you'd take to a desert island if you had only one choice?
Maybe it would be something by...
Get up, get on up. Get...
Or maybe it would be a disc from...
Well, let's play it now, but with a twist.
What radio station would you take to a desert island if you had only one choice?
There's only one answer to that question.
It's KPFT, of course.
We bring you great music, news, and information each day. You depend on us to keep you up to date.
And radio that's worth listening to is radio that's worth supporting. Over 90% of our funding comes from people just like you.
Without you, KPFT would be gone. So visit our website today, kpft.org, to become a member.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Can I count it off? Go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4.
KPFT will be airing a one-hour special on Sunday, April 22nd, in celebration of Earth Day, and we're seeking community involvement. Earth Day is now observed each year by more than 500 million people and national governments in 175 countries. KPFT will seek to commemorate Earth Day with special programming that includes people talking about local and global policies' effect on their daily lives, families, and communities, reports on relevant community issues, and contextual social, historical, and political dialogues. We're now seeking proposals and involvement from people like you. To get involved, contact me, KPFT Program Director Ernesto Aguilar, by phone at 713-526-4000 or via email to pd@kpft.org. If you have an idea for programming for this special, want to be a guest, want to produce, or just want to be involved, I'd love to hear from you. Deadline for proposals is April 10th. KPFT, Houston.
KPFT 90.1 FM, this is the World Village Cafe. Hello, Houston, and welcome to this edition of the World Village Cafe. Of course, this is your host, Tony Kay, in the studio with you tonight with Clementina. Good evening, Clementina.
Hello, and good evening to everyone.
There you go. And of course, if you're new to KPFT, if this is your first time tuning in, the show comes to you every Monday night at 10 p.m. And it's a show called The World Village Cafe. Of course, we aim at bringing you the issues affecting the many international communities out there in Houston and the entire USA. And it's already been a week. So before getting started, let me thank real quick everybody who's tuning in tonight from the airwaves in Houston, Galveston, and our surrounding cities and all over the world as well.
Yes, most certainly. Thank you for listening, and don't forget about the daylight saving time. I hope everyone is aware the time has changed out there, so hopefully you're able to tune in to our show and listen in and join us tonight.
Definitely. And by the way, I'm still recuperating. I need some more sleep. I didn't get enough sleep yesterday. I mean, aren't you tired trying to catch up with this daylight saving time?
You know what? Actually, I kind of rested all day Sunday, so I think if everyone tried to rest as much as possible on Sunday, then you wouldn't feel it. But we all know that Tony K is a busy man, so he's always going to be tired.
Oh, yeah. of course, coming from Clementine, I shouldn't be surprised that such comments are made. But anyhow, as far as the festivities tonight, we have the roundup of our African headline news, as usual, and then we'll have a very special interview. We'll have a phone interview with Reverend Fosu Akia, who's the pastor of First Love International Church, and he's also the president of the Ghanaian Association of Houston. And he'll be telling us about the 50th anniversary of the Ghanaian independence that was celebrated last week, and he also will be telling us about the their community activities here in Houston.
That's certainly interesting. So, I'm certainly looking forward to that, and I hope you guys out there are. And I think right now we're going to go ahead and jump into the news. And we'll be moving to the African headline news, starting with Nigeria, where the Nigerian army rescued three Europeans abducted from a bar last month in Port Harcourt in the Orange Niger Delta. The Nigerian military called this a well-organized operation. There have been dozens of kidnappings, with most freed after a ransom is paid. Nigerians' oil exports have dropped by 20%.
And in Zimbabwe, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, the leader of the country's opposition Movement for Democratic Change, the MDC, is in bad state after being beaten by police in custody, says his lawyer. Mr. Tsvangirai was arrested on Sunday along with several colleagues after riot police broke up a public meeting. On Monday, a high court judge said Mr. Tsvangirai must be allowed to access to lawyers and treated immediately.
In Angola, the government reported that they expect to see investors pour $50 billion, which is about 25.9 billion pounds, into its oil industry over the next 6 years. Angola, which recently emerged from a bloody 27-year civil war, has become sub-Saharan Africa's second biggest oil producer after Nigeria. The country is China's biggest supplier of crude oil.
And in Mauritania, the repatriation has begun of hundreds, mainly Asian migrants, who were stranded at sea off Mauritania. Their ship broke down in international waters before reaching its intended destination, Spain's Canary Island. They were allowed to land in Mauritania after Spain agreed to take them into custody and provide medical care.
In Morocco, the authorities have arrested an alleged member of a terror group linked to the Madrid train bombings and suicide blast in Casablanca in 2003. Saad Husseini was suspected of being a key member of the Moroccan Islamic Combatant Group, known by its French acronym GICM.
And finally, in Zambia, the police has used sledgehammers to knock down some 250 houses in the capital that authorities say were built without an official approval. Police say it is the start of a major program in Lusaka to demolish houses built on land obtained illegally. The government says it wants to crack down on corruption in the way land plots are distributed. And so this ends our roundup of the African headline news. You're listening to the World Village Cafe. Clementine, before we move on to the next segment, you know, it really puzzles me sometimes that, you know, some of our listeners really care about this news that we bring to them every week. So some people, actually, this is the main avenue that they have as far as getting the African news, because some people may not have access to the internet out there, you know, may not
That's
have access
true.
To... We don't have satellite dishes like Clementina has at her place to get international news and so on. So the World Village Cafe is the only show, actually, one of the only shows that brings you a weekly roundup of the African headline news. And all throughout KPFC, you have the BBC World Program and other programs as well.
It certainly is a show that, you know, we try to bring you everything about the African continent and surrounding nations as well. It's a very interesting show, mixed with culture, mixed with education. It's certainly beneficial for anyone who's out there listening. And I know our listeners enjoy us coming out here on the show every week, sharing our views with you, and you guys get to get involved. So I'm certainly excited to be here every Monday night, coming to you with concerns, issues about our culture, about our world today, today and about our society we live in. So I'm glad you guys are tuning in. It's every Monday night at 10 p.m. And now we're going to go on a musical break, and we'll be back with some more information for you.
Gâté le coin, a song brought to you by Magic System out of Ivory Coast, and you're indeed listening to the World Village Cafe on 90.1 KPFT FM with Tony K and Clementina here in the studio with you. And we've now reached a moment you all been waiting for, our weekly conversation. And like we said during the introduction, tonight we'll be conducting a live phone interview with Reverend Fosu Akia, who's the pastor of the First Love International Church and the president of the Ghanaian Association of Houston. So he will be filling us in about the 50th anniversary of the Ghanaian independence that was celebrated last week.
Yeah, and we talked about that last week, so it'll be certainly interesting to hear from a first-hand Ghanaian what the celebration is really about. Gaining their independence 50 years later.
Definitely independence, and also about some of the activities that are conducted here in Houston by the Ghanaian Association of Houston. Without any further delay, let me go in and bring in Reverend Fosu Akia. Hello, Reverend.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, and welcome to the World Village Cafe.
Thank you.
Great. Well, we're certainly excited to have you on the show tonight, and I know we've got lots of questions, and some of our listeners out there will be calling in. But first of all, I know Tony K is excited than anyone else to ask some questions, so I'll go ahead and let him have the first question.
Most definitely, Reverend. But actually, before I jump into it, just to kind of situate the country itself, because we have a lot of audience listeners out there that may not know where Ghana is. Let me just say real quick that Ghana, of course, is in West Africa, bordered by Ivory Coast on the west, Burkina Faso in the north, and Togo in the east, the capital being Accra, and the president of Ghana is John Kufuor, if I'm not mistaken, also known as the Gentle Giant. And Ghana was the first sub-Saharan African country where a European arrived. And also, 50 years ago, it was the first African country to obtain independence. Well, Reverend, I hope I did a pretty good job about introducing your country of origin.
You did good. And yes, it is the first sub-Saharan African country to gain independence.
Very good, very good.
All right.
And that's just exactly what we're going to be talking about. Well, this independence, it seems like it was such an important milestone, not only for Ghana, but many countries, because the first question I want to ask you, Reverend, is the following. You know, many countries, of course, have an independence to celebrate once a year, including the United States, right on 4th of July. But how do you explain the fact that this year's Ghanaian celebration has such a big and important tone, and it seems like it resonated across the whole African continent?
Well, we are excited. We're excited about it, and the main reason being that it is the 50th, the Jubilee celebration of independence. And part of the excitement is that yes, we've had our ups and our downs, but through the years, Ghana has not experienced any civil wars. Has not experienced people being murdered those kinds of upheavals that mess up societies.
Yes,
and so we are just in fact, one of the activities we had was a Thanksgiving service where we thanked the Lord for guiding us through all these years relatively without that much of a bloodshed.
Okay. Reverend, you just mentioned that Ghana went through without any civil war, mm-hmm. with pretty much a lot of peace. I want to touch on that because, as we all know, one of the main instigators of the independence movement was Kwame Nkrumah.
That is correct.
Also known as, if I'm not mistaken, is Osagyefo?
Osagyefo,
uh-huh. Which means the victorious one. Well, when he gained independence back then, he really put Ghana on the track of development with building schools, constructing roads, installing the tap system in some villages, and the educational system. So Ghana was really going towards improvement. Now, how would you say that, how far has Ghana come since back in 1957? Has the country really improved, or is it even worse than it was back then?
No, it's fairly relative, and we can say that it has gone forward. There were some missteps, but over the years it has come forward. And to go fall back to what you mentioned, Nkrumah was the first, Kwame Nkrumah, Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah was the first president. And I remember in 1957, one of his statements, and we all quote it very often, is him saying that the independence of Ghana is meaningless unless it's linked with the total liberation of all of Africa. And since then, right after 57, Ghana's independence, in 1960, Nigeria came along, and mm-hmm. the rest of the other countries got their independence. Not only that, he was quite visionary, okay. and started all kinds of programs in Ghana. And I'm proud to say that I am one of the beneficiaries of some of the programs. Free education from grade school all the way to university.
Wow.
That's how I got my education. That's how I got a scholarship. That's how I came to the United States.
Full free ride.
Free education.
I certainly wish we all had that. Our Reverend, you did mention earlier that the country has gone without wars, without any civil, wars or fighting, any major fights. And one thing I wanted to know is that what do you think is the secret to that? Is what do you think that is, because that's certainly a quality to be proud of as a Ghanaian. And if that's something that there's a secret to, would you like to share it with the rest of the world?
Well, we all working on trying to figure out and understand it all. But I think at the base of it we Ghanaians believe and trust that we can work things out. And we like to live peacefully with each other. Now, it doesn't mean we haven't had our arguments.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean we haven't had our disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have all of those, you know, the political parties, the you know, all kinds of different situations that come and go. We've had our military coups and so on and so forth. But people don't go out willy-nilly just causing chaos just because they disagree with each other.
Okay. Reverend, so something that intrigues me here. You know, during the celebration last week, President John Kufuor said, quote, the independence of 1957 has changed the role and status of the whole continent forever.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the African continent, which alludes a little bit to what you say, that Ghana restarted the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in relation to that, how important do you feel like, I mean, this 50-year milestone should be not only to Ghana, but all the other African countries as well? Should also they be part of this great celebration?
Well, they should, and they at least here in Houston, we try to do some of that. And I'm glad you also mentioned that the present president John Kufuor is carrying on the activity and the spread of the goodwill that Ghana has. But here in Houston, we did several things to make sure that it wasn't just Ghanaians.
Okay.
For example, we had what we call Ghana Freedom Fest on March the 3rd, where we had picnics, we had games, soccer games between different African countries and Ghana, Liberia, Ghana, Ethiopia, and Cameroon. And for our listeners, I just have to say, unfortunately, Liberia won the
won the game. We know how we take that soccer part seriously now within us African. But Reverend, talking about the celebrations itself, actually, what you say is important, because even President Kufuor said it's a year long celebration that, you know, the whole country will celebrate. Now, coming back to your association here in Houston, is it also going to be a year long celebration? If so, like, how do you intend to do that?
We're going to do it a year long, and basically,
wow,
we're going to tease out the theme for our celebration is towards a better home.
Okay.
Towards a better home, not just the national home, but for the individual family homes and situations. And basically, what we are focusing on is that we want to see that domestic violence, child abuse, the plight of street children in Ghana is looked at, and we want to raise money and go and help and donate it to some NGOs, national non-government of organizations in Ghana, who will use the money in very strategic ways, making sure that domestic violence, child abuse is eradicated. We have chosen two organizations. One of them is a unit with the Ghana Police.
Okay.
Deals with domestic violence. And they have branches all over the country. And so there are little dollars. In fact, one of the statements we made is that the $5 that you spend at McDonald's on lunch or go to KFC on the wings and chicken,
oh, yeah,
all the junk food,
will make a lot of difference to people on the other side of the globe. And so we're going to continue with different fundraising activities throughout the year to continue raising money for these causes. The second thing we've started doing is collect books.
Oh.
Books?
Books.
Okay.
We're doing a book drive to go and donate at least 1,000 books to the different regional libraries in Ghana.
Okay.
So young people can spend the time reading and studying and passing exams, and therefore continuing the education just as we did.
And Reverend, if people are interested in donating books, how will they go ahead, for our listeners out there listening tonight, if they're interested in donating books, how will they go about doing that?
All they have to do is to call us. And is it okay to give a number?
Ah, yes.
Most definitely.
Okay. If you call 281-933-1254.
Okay.
If you call that number, we will arrange, we'll come out and pick them up.
All right. So it's
In the past few weeks, I've been going to Catholic convents, different libraries, school districts. Independent school districts, no, they just donate books, and we have them in warehouses. We're going to raise enough money to ship them to Ghana and actually do the presentation in Ghana sometime.
Wonderful. And for our listeners out there, if you're interested in donating books, once again, the number is 281-933-1254, and they will be able to come out and pick up those books. And Reverend, before we get into any closing thoughts for the day, I just wanted to remind our listeners out there that you are listening to the World Village Cafe, and we have a phone interview going on with Reverend Fosu Akia, and I know Tony Kay has some final questions for the Reverend before we round up for the evening.
Actually, before the closing comments here, let me just to specify, Reverend, all this will be under the umbrella of the Ghanaian Association of Houston. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that is a full non-profit, full-fledged organization.
That is correct.
Okay, the number being 281-933-1254.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Reverend Fosu Akia. Reverend, every good thing has an end. We would like to talk to you all night long, but unfortunately, we're closing it towards the end.
Yeah,
so I will give you the closing comments.
One quick point, and that is we also had an essay competition for young people.
An essay competition?
Competition. We had three very outstanding young people that won the essays, and they have treasury bonds for rewards.
Treasury bonds.
Treasury bonds. No, from $100 to $300.
Wow.
Okay.
In three different groups, and we just want to instill in young people the idea of saving and holding their money so it grows.
You know what, that financial awareness is something that's actually lacking a lot of times in our communities. We have to be honest about that.
Mm.
So starting at a young age, I know we'll definitely make a huge difference as these kids are growing up. Real quick, 20 seconds, Reverend, what would you like to say to conclude?
Well, we're just excited about where we have been. 50 years comes once in a lifetime, and we just want to make a mark whilst we are here. Some of us, the next 50 years comes around, we may see it, but we know we will not be able to enjoy it. So we're making the best of it right now. We are wishing everybody will join us and make the best of it at this time.
Well, Stanley, how do you say happy celebration in Akan, or one of the most popular languages in Kenya?
Aiko Afishapo.
Aiko Afishapo. Reverend, thank you very much for participating to the show, and you're welcome back at any time.
Thank you for joining us tonight. And
thank you.
Most definitely. All right, that was Reverend Fosu Akia, who's the president of the Ghanaian Association of Houston. And you are indeed listening to the World Village Cafe on 90.1 KPFT FM. Clementina, that was a pretty interesting individual. Huh?
Yeah, I certainly most enjoyed it. It was very insightful. I actually learned a couple of things. I'm actually proud of the fact that they are actually supporting the education of our younger generation and our future generation. And I think that's what a lot of our adults in the society have to do, kind of give back to the next generations that are to come. I definitely, I'm so proud of the fact that they are able to donate books, pick up those books, and raise enough money to send that out. So, I definitely will be donating some books because I'm a reader. I love to read. So,
you know what they say, knowledge is power, and readers are leaders. A lot of times people always want to look for money first, but look for that education and knowledge first, and it may turn out to be the biggest asset you may ever have in your entire life. Well, we've reached the end of our show, Miss Clementina. It was another eventful, packed, great show.
Wonderful, wonderful show. Of course, you guys know out there, we are here every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Walled Village Cafe on KPFT 90.1 FM. So don't forget to join us. If you'd like to send your comments, ideas, or suggestions, you can also reach us at walledvillagecafe@hotmail.com.
And make sure to also visit the webpage, which is www.myspace.com/World World Village Cafe. Stay tuned on KPFT. You have many more great shows coming up. As a matter of fact, we have Street Talk with Cole Black that's coming up next. And that's another great, interesting show. And like Clementina said, make sure you come back next week, same station and at the same time. And for the whole Village Cafe team, I'm Tony Kay.
And I'm Clementina. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
Good night, Houston.
KPFT will be airing a one-hour special on Sunday, April 22nd, in celebration of Earth Day, and we're seeking community involvement. Earth Day is now observed each year by more than 500 million people and national governments in 175 countries. KPFT will seek to commemorate Earth Day with special programming that includes people talking about local and global policies' effect on their daily lives, families, and communities, reports on relevant community issues, and contextual, social, historical, and political dialogues. We're now seeking proposals and involvement from people like you. To get involved, contact me, KPFT Program Director Ernesto Aguilar, by phone at 713-526-4000 or via email to pd@kpft.org. If you have an idea for programming for this special, want to be a guest, want to produce, or just want to be involved, I'd love to hear from you. Deadline for proposals is April 10th. KPFT, Houston.
KPFT has something for all kinds of music lovers, including folk, hip-hop, reggae, Tejano, and all flavors of music.
That's what set this station apart from other stations, is range and diversity.
So tune in at 2 p.m. weekdays when KPFT brings you even more adventurous sounds for your afternoons.
Mondays at 2, tune in for Michael Sabas with a fresh mix of music on The Weave.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can hear unique world music for your afternoon with Music Beyond Borders.
On Wednesday at 2, tune in for music from Africa and beyond on World Music Express.
On Fridays, join Rhonda Gardner for Cutting Edge Rock on Radio Active.
At 2 p.m. weekdays, KPFT carries on its traditions of more adventurous sounds for your afternoons.
This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Hey, welcome to Street Talk. I'm your host, Cole Black. You ready for the most power-packed 30-minute reality radio show on the planet? It's going down right here live. We got a special guest in the house tonight. Dr. Dino is going to be speaking about health issues, you know, keeping you up on your toes and, you know, giving you a little insight on what you need to do, man, to keep yourself fit, because being fit is actually a major part of life, you know. And right now, we're going to get into a little music by yours truly. You know how we put the theme song on, That Dirty South Live, you know. It don't stop. We do this every week, Monday nights, 10:30 to 11 p.m. with my boy, the Streetwalker. You know what I'm saying? G-Walker, he'll be up in here in just a minute, man. So y'all stay tuned and check us out. It's going down live tonight on this Monday night. And it's That Dirty South by yours truly, Cole Black. Yup. Hey. Cold Black, baby. 360 degrees. Off the wall, no, see the streets.
State, all across the world, man, take some pride with a wild nature. You down, play the struggle, then please to meet you. If not, put them haters off the block, they don't mean it's no good. Type of cash there to sell out the hood. The world is a ghetto, so we hustle for life. Trying to hold it down with all my might. I keep it locked, tight, down, and gritty. I'm loving my sin, looking for some work that I need to get with me. It's enough money to spend, you can't play the games with grown men. Get your wings split or your neck choke. It's dangerous when these thoughts provoke. I need something more than hope to keep them going broke. I fire up to the coat. I'm not addicted, I just love to flow. When there's no rock roll, we move around the way. The place is where the play is, you know. All day, well, in a dirty, dirty.
While I struggle to make it, put your heart in my hand and hope I won't break it. A lot of times it ain't just you, it's the stress of this world, plus your attitude. If you got ways, just relax. I don't need all that mouth in my ear and you ride my back. Come home from work, tired, then straight to my plans. Hoping it jumps, no more working for the man. I get it how it comes, move some weight on the side to increase my income. How you think we survive? Hell, nobody gives me nothing. I'm plagued by my past when I was young and corrupt. Disgusted by the things I seen in life. Hoping one day I can get it right. If not, back to the block on my grind, trying to slay me a lick. They say the ghetto's in the mind and that's cool. But how you break free? Cause I ain't learned school. From 50 packs to large stacks. From being broke till I can buy that. From hustling late nights to the early morn. I got to get it, baby, however it comes. Who gon' help me? A lost soul stuck in this place. Trying to uplift a mighty race. Harristown in Texas is where I stay. I gotta live right, baby, before it gets away. I pay my dues. Hell, I ain't asking for nothing. I just keep on hustling. I just keep on hustling. Yeah, that's it, baby. Go.
Don't stop, KPFT 90.1 FM. Yup, this Street Talk, once again, back on this Monday night, 10:30 to 11 p.m. And also check us out on www.myspace.com/COLBLAC. I'd like to welcome my guests in the studio, Dr. Dino. How you feeling, bro?
I'm doing great, Cole. How you doing, buddy?
Oh man, it's great to have you on the show to talk about these issues, because you know we see so many things going on in society today dealing with health and how to properly take care of your body. And you know this is a positive show, so we like to give information and give things to our audience that can help them along their way and help their lives just a little bit better with, you know, with the proper amount of information can take you a long way. So as a whole purpose of this show, so we're gonna get into the subject and the topic and dealing with, you know, the purpose of chiropractic I don't want to say medicine, but you know the chiropractic healing and the purpose of that and how it can help a person. You can elaborate on that.
Sure, it's I appreciate you for asking me to come aboard here, and chiropractic care is just wonderful. It's truly health care. Other stuff is more disease care, if you will. And I've broken chiropractic care down just to some basics. It's good spinal health care, and along with that, everything from being conscious of good posture,
right,
drinking lots of water, keeping yourself hydrated, breathing right. Too often people don't stop and take a deep breath. You know, they kind of pant the way dogs do, you know, and they need to take a deep breath and get all that oxygen in and kind of relax a little bit.
Right.
Exercise. And what I mean by that is more like cross training, stuff like doing a lot of different things that you enjoy, not just the same old thing all the time. Everything from shooting hoop and walking and swimming, riding your bike, maybe doing some weights, some aerobics, just mixing it up. Have fun with your kids. And this way it never gets boring and it's always good. And, of course, eating right. You know, our society today, we just eat on the run and we're not eating right. And diabetes is at an all-time high, heart disease. And if we just stopped and ate more fruit and less carbohydrates, like, you know, less french fries and stuff like that, it'd make a huge difference. We'd have more energy, we'd feel better, we'd be healthier in the long run. And really the last thing, and probably one of the most important, is just positive thinking. Just think good thoughts, you know. Life is meant to enjoy. And just get yourself around good positive people, read positive books, you know, listen to good people, and it'll all be good.
See, that's the key. One of the keys to life is thinking positive and eating right. And, you know, because, you know, sometimes we can get a tendency to get on a negative path for the negative side of life, and we also bring a negative results to our life. But, you know, when you started, and especially, and I'm bearing witness to myself, when you start thinking a bit more positive and want more positive outcomes out of some ventures that you might be involved in, you know, you start thinking the lines of, man, I got to get my health together, you know. Man, I got to start exercising, you know. Man, I got to start eating right a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Because you started seeing the value in life, and, you know, you want to be here as long as you can to enjoy it. So, like I say, that's the purpose of this show. We want to share this information so you can, just in case if you might be a little down or whatnot, or in back of your mind, you know, you might say to yourself, I need to start eating right, or I need to start exercising. Well, this is that confirmation, you know what I mean? This is coming back around again to you, you know. The doctors on the show, they share a little insight, you know, and these are keys to living. So take heed to this, you know, and enjoy it. You know, this is one of those shows you're going to want to, you know, put up in your archives, you know. Because very rarely do you know, have shows where, you know, doctor, he took time out of his busy schedule to come in, and it's called We Giving Back. He's giving back, you know, to the community, you know, some key points and key elements in life, you know. So explain to him what getting adjusted is, you know, and the benefits of that, and how different parts of your brain and your nerve system affect different parts of your body. Because I actually had the chance to, you know, get adjusted, man. And it's like, man, I thought I was 13 all over again. You know, I'm moving around, so, and it's great. So if you could just share that with the audience.
Sure. It's the basic premise of chiropractic care, where the brain and the spine control every organ and function in your body. Mm-hmm. And I think most people kind of know that if they think about it. It's just the lifeline of your body. And it's a circuit, you know. The message comes from the brain and goes down to the spine and then out to the different organs from each level of your spine. And if you have an interference there, and in chiropractic we call it a misalignment or a subluxation, that kind of cuts off that energy flow. And if it stays like that for a long period of time, it may potentially cause problems to whatever organ that nerve is supposed to go to. Mm-hmm. So as a chiropractor, you know, we try to remove that interference and let the body heal itself. And this way you can function at your best. And basically, you know, I learned a long time ago from a great man, my dad. He said, you know, you can have everything in the world, money and fame and fortune and all that stuff, but if you don't have good health, you got nothing.
Right.
And chiropractic, really just, as a chiropractor, you know, we tend to be authorities on good health. We want to make you healthy. We want to keep you away from disease. And we really believe that if you keep your body adjusted, which is the term we use when we you know, get on you and we adjust you and remove those interferences, when we do that, your body can be at its best. It can fight off things that normally would kind of be opportunistic, like the flus, the sinus, or, you know, even more serious diseases. It kind of puts you at your best, so this way you can fight that stuff off and be at your best. It's good common sense stuff, though, that I try to give to my patients. Simple stuff that you can take home and just do in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah, see, now that's what it's about. You listen to Street Talk, KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Cole Black. We got Dr. Dino in the building. We'll be back to continue this discussion right after this music break. Check me out. It's party tonight, because later on after the show, I'm going to get out and do a little partying. So it's my theme song. So y'all check it out live right here, KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, baby. Chill.
Girlies are partying, touching my body. And
hey. Put y'all drinks in the air. It's going down, baby. Cold Black. It don't stop.
Girl, it's all party and touching my body.
Wave your hands in the air.
Girl, it's all party and touching my body.
H-Town, we party at the Madison side. Got a Rose Sound system, bumping my ride. Say DJ, won't you play that song? Keep them ladies on the floor, shaking ass all night long. I'm throwing my mind in the zone, and I ain't even to the break of dawn. And still, the party don't stop. Ran into a sexy redhead, beating head in the parking lot. Pull up the pants in the back on the road. I got hair, lipstick, and dro smoking my clothes. Reached in the back, pulled up some more hen. It's the weekend, baby, I'm finna do it again. Headed to the house to take a shower in a 4-hour nap. Woke up with this broad laying deep in my lap. Grab my pants, take my wallet and cash. Cause some of you ladies out here acting bad. I done told you, I told you I'm working 9 to 5. I ain't hushing no more, I'm planting seeds, sit back and watch them grow. We gon' party till the break is done. Don't come around here if you ain't trying to have fun. We gon' party tonight, we gon' party tonight. Westside, we gon' party tonight. Just got paid. Time to hit the strip and see what it say. It's a full moon, so I'm booked wild, ready for action. Find some hype and get to smashing. Headed to the club and let the music bump. Hennessy and lime juice pulled up in my cup. Everywhere I look, I see Beyonce, Tari, and Shonda, and a badass chick from Rwanda. Can we go to the moat and pop some bottles? She's so sexy, got the body of a model. Face like the goddess lady. I feel your spirit picked up on your vibe, telling me to hit it. Players get chose, no valore in my low. I only roll on leather, cause I got it together. In the Benzo, bounce and turn. Conspiracy, got some drink and some dreams to burn. We gon' party until we pass out, hugging the flow. And if you didn't come to party, what you come here for? We gon' party tonight, we gon' party tonight. Westside, we gon' party tonight. I keep bumping that music for the boys and girls. Cause the world is a toxic world with many pearls. And if I'm lying, you can ask Jane, Money, Monique, and Cheryl. How we get down in H-Town, we move around, bumping signs. Watch out now, we breaking ground. We chunk deuce and cut loose and sip yak juice and stack loose. And this is for my DJs and you. Yo, we gon' party all around the world. From Texas to L.A., Seattle, Delaware, Colorado, ATL, Jacksonville, Florida, Cleveland, on the go down, Duval County, baby,
Ohio,
it don't stop, Louisiana, my partner's in N.O., whoa,
what up, baby,
Cold Black, it ain't nothing but a party, y'all, that's what we here for,
California,
no flex, no hate, just have a good time. That's the only thing on my mind.
NY.
Yeah, we back live in the studio. That was Party Tonight by yours truly. We putting it down with Dr. D, a.k.a. Dr. Dino, the chiropractor, giving you some keys and some tips to, you know, help you along the way and help your health, man, because that is positive, and that's the part of being here, you know. We want to eat right, you know. We want to stay focused. We want to have good health. We also want to enjoy life, you know. So make sure y'all continue to tune in, and we're back, you know, live with Dr. Dino. What's up, Dr. D?
Hey, Cole. What's going, buddy?
Oh, not too much. So basically, within your field, I know it's a lot of people might, you know, have questions, man, and, you know, might want to talk to you and get a more understanding of what's going on. So if you could, you know, give them a little information, man, or a contact number where they can reach you at or something, you know, because we provide this, you know, a consultation, because it's more than, you know, it's actually the purpose of, you know, healing it, neighborly life. We're trying to heal our neighbors, you know.
Absolutely. And our office, we certainly do give out complimentary consultations for anybody, because it's always been my philosophy. If I can help you, then we can go from there. And if I can't, I'll certainly direct you in the right direction. And either way, it won't cost you anything. And it all works out in the long run. I've been in practice now 17 years, and I'm located over at the I-10 and Derry Astrid area, right across from Stratford High School, if anyone knows that area. And our phone number where we can be reached is 281-589-2424. And we do also have Saturday morning hours for those patients that just can't get together and, you know, can't come by during the week. So keep that in mind. Once again, 281-589-2424. And we'd be more than happy to chat with you and have you come on in and just talk about whatever concerns you have regarding your health.
That's what's up, man. And boy, Street Walker, man, in the building, man. You know what I'm saying? Putting it down as usual, man. Right here with me. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit behind schedule. You know how it goes sometimes.
Trust me, man. When you out there making things happen, you always on the move, always on the go. Trust me, we actually getting ready. Y'all been on the lookout for Street Talk Television, the video. Coming to you live, so man, y'all keep your eyes open for that project, man, in the move, man. You know, something in Street Walker, you know what I'm saying, putting together Street Walker Entertainment, Cold Black, you know. So it's coming at you, man. Big things on the table for 2007. 90.1 KPFT, a great radio station. Y'all make sure y'all keep tuned, keep listening to us, because on this show, Street Talk, we're gonna bring you a diverse show with different subjects, different subject matters, different issues, dealing all the way from A to Z, from religion to health, the music, money, news, whatever. You know, we like to, you know, because the universe, man, is so vast, man. There's so many things that moves this world. You know, we're not just one dimensional. We like to get into so many different things, you know, to benefit your life and add a little flavor to your life. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're about right here on KPFT 90.1. But Doc, man, before you go, just touch base one more time, because a lot of people, when they hear it the first time, including myself, they don't really understand, you know, the power and the dynamics of, you know, the brain and the nervous system, and how you have to be in tune, and, you know, and the positive thinking, you know, to move forward, because that's where we at today. So just let them know how your body is an organism that works together with this universe.
Right, absolutely. Once again, the premise of chiropractic care is that the body can heal itself with a little help. We don't introduce any kind of pharmaceuticals or anything, because, you know, as most people know, there's a lot of side effects to that. Sometimes these commercials are scary when they give you the disclaimer with side effects, but chiropractic care just works with the brain and the spine. The message from the brain going down the spine, out to the organs, and then it returns back with the return message, and sometimes it gets blocked or interfered with what we call subluxation or a misalignment. And that's an interference. And as a chiropractor, we remove that, and we remove it naturally by just working with your body. And chiropractic has been around for over 100 years, and more and more people these days are finding the value of it. And I tell patients, just like you have your dentist and your eye doctor and your female doctor, if you're a woman, of course, and your family doctor, you should have your chiropractic doctor, because we are authorities on health, and we'll take care of you when it comes to your spine.
So there you have it, right here, live Street Talk, 90.1 FM. That's information that you can use, man, food for thought, something for your mind, or brain food, whatever you choose to call it. I mean, you get that right here, you know. We continue to bring you the hot topics, you know, something that's positive, you know, because we want to move forward in life. I mean, I done been on the negative side of life, you know, and it's at the point where I don't even want to even go down that route, you know. We like to keep things positive and keep things moving forward. So that was for your benefit, you know, out there. Take that, you know, and, you know, take the advice of the doctor, you know, eat right, you know what I'm saying, exercise, and like you said, I mean, exercise with your family, your children, with your kids, go out and turn it to a fun thing, and he was stating that you don't have to have one form of exercise, you can aerobics, to basketball, to swimming, to running, you know, cross it up, in the sense of cross training. So make sure, you know, y'all take heed and get into that, you know. And so before we close, got any last comments?
Yeah, just those five health tips real quick. Good common sense ones you can take home. One's good posture. That's the key. Drink lots of water, especially this time of year going into the summer. You can't have enough of that. Breathing. Make sure you stop and take deep breaths and really fill up your lungs with that oxygen because that's what really helps heal. Cross training, like Cole was talking about, mix it up, make it fun. This way, it never gets boring or old. And eating right, you know, lots of fruit and vegetables. Cut out that fast food stuff, and you'll see you have more energy. You'll drop some weight, and you'll live a longer life.
See, and that's what it's about. And I know Street Walker, man, could bear witness to that when he training these boxers and putting it down. Understand, man, you know, health and exercising is important. You know,
most definitely, taking healthy vitamins and, you know, supplements, all that play a part, keeping your body together, everything from some colon cleansers type of supplements, all that play a part of keeping your body strong, keeping your mind strong, all that.
Make sure if y'all want to listen to this over again, check us out, kpft.org. Look up Street Talk. Monday nights, 10:30 to 11 p.m. It's going down, man. We'd like to thank the doctor for coming on the show, you know, and sharing that information, you know, which I know is going to help a lot of people out there, man, help their lives go a lot smoother, man. You know, in 2007, you know, we rolling smooth, and we keeping it smooth and easy, keeping it simple and enjoying life, you know. That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Cole. My pleasure. It's my pleasure, as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And we're going to ride out, man. And y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. Next Monday, 10:30 to 11 p.m., Cole Black Streetwalker Entertainment. Get ready for Street Talk Television, the video. We're going to hit you with the hottest video in the nation. You know what I'm saying? Around the world. We making big things, man. It's going down. Just so we're going to ride out a little bit on this SOS band. So y'all bob your head and groove with us.
Mike Savage. Does your home music collection have a diverse mix of all types of music, including rock, folk, world, blues, bluegrass, alternative, and beyond? If so, join me Mondays at 2 p.m. for The Weave. I'll mix new music of all types into a consistent whole for those who truly love all forms of music. It's The Weave, a program for true music lovers. Mondays at 2 p.m. right here on your Pacifica radio station, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And this is your reminder to listen to People of Earth Radio. Hear the voices of Indigenous America right here on KPFT. Same Earth time, same Earth station.
People of Earth airs Friday mornings at 11 right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.